No other word for grace but amazing. Turn to John chapter 16 in your Bibles if you would. If you have one with you, and one verse I'll read. Familiar passage, and also familiar to preach this passage before a couple years ago. I want to bring it back today. Appreciate my daughter-in-law singing. That was amazing. Grace means God's unmerited favor, God's unearned favor. And it's certainly amazing that God would love us the way He loves us. The Creator loving His creation. John chapter 16, verse 23. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Notice that little statement, "be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." The word cheer means courage. Be of good courage. Be of good cheer. He says, "for I have overcome the world." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, bless the time, bless the reading of your word, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Difficult times come and go, don't they? We all experience, as a common humanity, we all experience difficult times. Jesus never promised a life without problems. Contrary to some preachers who preach that on TV and other places, the Bible never says, Jesus never said that He would give us a life without problems. In our verse it says trouble or tribulation. It says, but in the world you shall have tribulation. That word tribulation means distress. If you go back to the root word, it means to thrash or beat. Anybody ever felt like you've been thrashed or beat? I did when I was a kid a few times. No, but I still do. We go through this life, and life beats us up sometimes. But I'm so glad that I have the greatest cheerleader who has ever existed. I've had some great cheerleaders in my life. I appreciate my dad, who's a great encourager. And as I grew up in sports and other areas, always encouraging me. And then I appreciate my mother, who was always there when I was sick to encourage me and care for me. I'm thankful for my spouse, my wife, who is my great encourager and my cheerleader, if you would. I'm thankful I have some mentors in my life. I have a pastor, Eddie Johnson, and many others, pastors in my life, who have been there helping me and encouraging me. I'm thankful for a sibling, I think. My brother, Danny. He's okay. It's not good. I try to encourage him. He's my older brother. He's 4 years older. But I appreciate him. He is a good encourager. Appreciate our church family. What a great church family we have, who constantly, again, encouraging me as your pastor and encouraging my family. I appreciate the notes that I get. And there's some in this room I could embarrass who send me notes pretty often. And I appreciate that so very much. It means a lot to me. I appreciate, again, the cheerleaders in my life and the encouragers in my life, the friends that I have. And I think, again, many of you experiencing cheerleaders in your life, co-workers and family and friends and neighbors. We all need encouragement from time to time. We do need that. We need a cheerleader in our life. And again, I'm glad that Jesus came and said, "Be of good cheer. Be of good courage." Encouraging them, the greatest cheerleader, the greatest encourager we have is Jesus Christ. Paul experienced this cheerleader. Paul experienced this encourager. The apostles experienced this encourager. Think about the sick whom Jesus healed and the lame Jesus healed. And then again, Jesus Christ, our great encourager. So four times Jesus uses the term in the Bible, be of good cheer or be of good courage. We see in Matthew chapter 9, we're going to turn to a few verses, but we're not going to read a whole lot of the story. If you want the whole story, you'll need to go read it yourself. But in Matthew chapter 9, we have the story of the lame man and Jesus coming to him. It says, and he behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy. Verse 2, Matthew chapter 9, a man sick of palsy, a man who was lame, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Thy sins be forgiven thee." So here we see a man who is sick, a man who's lame, who's crippled. And God and Jesus Christ, seeing the faith of those who brought him, said to the man who was crippled, "Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer." In other words, take courage. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And Jesus Christ forgave him there of his sins. I'm thankful today that Jesus Christ forgives. That our God is a forgiving God. And not like we forgive. You know, we do something to somebody or somebody does something to us and they come and ask for forgiveness or we ask them for forgiveness and we say, oh, I forgive you. But we forgive, but we don't forget, right? We don't forget. And hopefully our actions prove that we have forgiven them, but in our mind we cannot forget. But the Bible says that God forgives and forgets. You say, well, how can that happen? I don't know. I just know that's what the Bible says. God ain't like any of us. He can do stuff that we can't do. So when He forgives, He forgets. We serve a forgiving God. What a powerful God we serve. He forgave him. He healed him. He saw his need and he healed him. He said to him, the lame man, he said, be of good cheer, take courage. And then again, he forgave him and we see that he healed him. And there's some fussing and fighting there with some of the Pharisees and scribes, some of the religious leaders who didn't like what he was doing. And Jesus said, is it easier to forgive somebody or is it easier to heal somebody? Neither one is easy. Amen. And so he forgave him and he healed him. He said, but that ye may know, verse 6 says, that I am the Son of Man, hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the sick of palsy, the lame man, arise, take up thy bed, and go to thine house. And the lame man arose and departed to his house. That would make an impression. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Jesus Christ forgave him and healed him. Can I remind you this morning that we are all born into this world with a need to be forgiven? We all have a problem. It's called a selfish nature. We are not born with a nature that is selfless. We are born with a nature that is selfish. And because of that selfish nature, which was given to us by our great, 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 great grandpa Adam in the Garden of Eden, because he sinned, we are selfish by nature. The Bible says the wages of sin, and that's selfishness, the wages of having that selfish nature is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Though we are deserving of death, hell, and the lake of fire, Jesus Christ in His grace, that my daughter-in-law sang a moment ago, gives us eternal life. We need healing. We need forgiveness. And Jesus Christ gives that to us. I want to just go back to, again, I'm not going to turn there, but John 16, our text verse, he says, these things have I said unto you, he says, that ye might have peace, that in me you might have peace. See, true peace comes from Jesus Christ. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. You want peace? You want true peace? You want contentment in life? Jesus is the answer. Ask Robin Williams if fame and fortune is the answer. It's not. You can have all the stuff in the world and not have peace. You can have all the fame in the world and not have peace. You can have all the fortune in this world and you not have peace. True peace and contentment is found in Jesus Christ. And what a life-transforming event in this man's life. Here's a crippled man, a man who was lame, a man who was being carried into bed, received forgiveness, and received healing, received new life. And there is new life in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're all in need of forgiveness. Forgiveness is found in the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, lived a perfect life, went to the cross, went to a cross, the cross. And there, Jesus Christ gave His life for us. He shed His blood on Calvary. He died for our sins, not for crimes He had done, but He died for our sins. They buried Him. They put Him in a tomb. But 3 days later, He rose from the dead. Do you believe that? And do you believe it as your only means of salvation? I hope you do this morning. The greatest decision you ever make in life is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It is life transforming. It is forgiveness. It is healing. It's amazing. Amazing. Amazing grace. The second time Jesus uses this phrase, be of good cheer, is found on the Sea of Galilee in Matthew chapter 14. So just turn a few pages over if you're trying to follow. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And here he says that straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. So here he feeds 5,000, and then he sends the disciples in a ship across the Sea of Galilee. And I always like to clarify, the Sea of Galilee is a freshwater lake in Israel. It's about 13 miles long, in some areas 7 to 8 miles wide. It's about a 60,000 acre lake. Lake Texoma is a 90,000 acre lake. So sometimes growing up in Sunday school, we get a misconception of what the Sea of Galilee was like. The Sea of Galilee was a freshwater lake, smaller than Lake Texoma. All right? But it isn't a tremendous valley. It's in the Jordan Valley, mountains to the north, the Dead Sea to the south. So there's a big drop in elevation as you come out of the mountains, you come through that Sea of Galilee. And so the storms on that particular lake can be very, very rough. And so that's what happened. Jesus said, get into the ship, go to the other side. They got into the ship. Again, let me clarify, ship. 25 feet long, approximately. Not a huge ship, as you would think. So you think about 12 or 13 guys being in that ship, it would be pretty full. It'd be pretty full, depending on how big they were. This jacket's pretty tight. So, my commercial. So they were constrained. It said Jesus constrained them. In other words, he told them to get into the ship. He told them to. It was a command. And unlike me telling you to do, if Jesus told you to do something, you do it, right? They got in the ship. And as they went to the other side, a storm came up. A storm arose. I just want to point out, he told them to go. And the storm still came. So just because there's distress in your life, just because there's a tribulation in your life, just because there's a storm in your life, does not necessarily mean you're out of God's will. In other words, again, the Lord never promised a life without storms. He never promised a life without problems. He never promised those things. I don't care what any preacher says on TV. The Bible never promises that if you'll accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you'll never have another problem. But what it does promise is that he'll never fail you, that he'll never ever forsake you, that he'll go with you through that. But in this particular instance, Jesus meets them out on the water. Yes, Jesus walked on the water. Preacher, do you really believe that? The answer is yes. See, this Jesus who walked on the water is the same God who created the water. If you create the water, then you can walk on it. Pretty simple to me. I create it. I have command over it. I can prove that Jesus created all. It said John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W-O-R-D, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, talking about Jesus. All things were made by him. That is not in reference to God. It's in reference to his son Jesus. And all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And I could go verse after verse in the New Testament that says Jesus Christ was the primary agent in the Trinity who did the creating. Amen. On that first day when he said, let there be light, it was Jesus there who said, let there be light. Amen. So Jesus walked on the water to the disciples in the ship. The storm was up and they thought all was lost. And Jesus said what to them? Be of good cheer. Verse 27, he said, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. Be of good courage. Take courage. Don't be afraid. It's me. Be of good cheer. He came to them in the storm. Verse 32 says, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him. Verse 32 says, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. I'm not going to give you the whole story. You can go read it. But Jesus calmed the storm. Done. I like to say, when Jesus calms the storm, you know, and it's the waves are rocking and everything's back and forth, when he calmed the storm, it didn't say, storm stop and it still go like this. and then finally stop. Now, when he said, peace be still, phew, calm water. That's pretty awesome. He'll calm your storm as well. In the midst of tribulation, you pray. In the midst of distress, you pray. And God will calm your storm. I want to remind you, though, as by way of illustration, that you can't have growth in life without the rain. That without storms in your life, you will not grow. I'm talking about as a person and spiritually as well. I'm talking about just as a human being. The problems we face help us to grow and understand this life. It helps us to gain wisdom. For instance, a teenager should go to their parents for advice when it comes to relationships. Why? Because they've been through a few. They've had a few problems. They've faced a few problems. And so because of those problems, they can give their child, hopefully, you know, wisdom to help them escape some of those trials, some of those problems. In other words, problems in life help us. They help us to grow. If you're going to have a plant grow, you're going to have to water it. And the greatest way to do so is to have rain come down from the sky. That way your water bill is not as big. Right? Storms are necessary for plants to grow. Storms are necessary in your life for you to grow. Storms are necessary not only for you to grow as a human being, but for you to grow spiritually. Faith equals faith. In other words, my faith grows as I, through the Lord Jesus Christ, overcome those distresses in my life. Again, we think about the illustration of David who defeated the bear and the lion before David ever went to defeat Goliath. Before he ever killed Goliath, he defeated the lion and the bear. God prepared in small distresses and small storms for the big storm that was to come. If the storms don't come, it's still a lot of work to grow. Because again, you've got to irrigate plants if you don't get the storms. As a kid growing up, I spent a lot of summers on the farm in Duncan, Oklahoma with my grandparents and my great-grandparents. And to irrigate the crops and to irrigate the hay, we had they had a 1975 Chevrolet truck there beside the pond or the tank, whatever you want to call it, pond. And it had a pump on the back of it. And you started the truck, the engine of the truck, and it turned the pump on the back and it sucked water out of the pond and it irrigated the fields. Well, it didn't do that all by itself. Somebody had to go put out the irrigation pipe. And that was always left up to, all of us. And we'd lay the poly pipe up to where Papa wanted us to put the irrigation pipe, and then we had the irrigation trailer, brought out the trailer, got all that pipe off the trailer, and started setting it out. We'd set it out wherever he was wanting to water. Aluminum pipe, by the way. It'd be expensive now. We caught some people trying to steal it here a few years ago. Aluminum pipe, so y'all all go find out where it's at. No, I'm just kidding. There's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to irrigate the field, a lot of work to get the water to the field. Let me tell you, it's work. If you're going to grow, it's going to take work. Hello? If you're going to succeed, if you're going to grow, it takes work. It takes training, right, guys? I mean, if you're going to grow in the field of firefighting, it's going to take training. And Weston Wood and police officers, it takes training. In order for that to do it, it takes a lot of work. It takes some distress. To grow, to learn, to work. He said, in Him we have peace, but in the world we experience distress. And lastly, the last time which it's used, it's actually God speaking to Paul. And Paul, he says to Paul in Acts 23, verse 11, it says, and the night following the Lord... And the night following, the Lord stood by him, talking about stood by Paul, and said to him, Paul, be of good cheer, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome. He tells Paul the apostle, who wrote over half the New Testament, who had been put in prison, had been put before certain magistrates, and he appealed to Rome. In other words, he was a Roman citizen, and he said, I appeal to Rome. I want to go before the Caesar. I want to go before Nero. I want to go to Rome. And God came to Paul at night and said, you will testify for me in Rome. You will testify before me, for me before Caesar. God told Paul that in Acts 23. In Acts 27, we have the story of kind of the last leg of the journey. Paul is on a boat, and they are headed to Rome. And they get in one storm, and they put the boat into anchor, and they fix the boat one time, and then they get back out. Before they go back out this time, Paul says, don't go. Don't go. It's bad things are going to happen. But they didn't listen to Paul. Paul was a prisoner. Why don't listen to him? And so they get back out in the Mediterranean Sea, headed to Italy, headed to Rome. Big storm comes up this time. This time, there's no getting out of it. This time, the ship's coming apart. This time, they're throwing stuff out. In fact, they threw everything out of the boat, finally. Everything. Tackle everything out of the boat. And then they thought about they were going to have to kill the prisoners so they wouldn't escape. And all these things about to happen. And it says that Paul stood up. That Paul stood up. I'm going to turn over there. Acts chapter 27 and verse 21. Acts 21, 27. Acts 21, 27, 21. Says, but after a long absence, Paul stood up forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. So the words that God had said to him just a few nights before this, he says to the crew of this boat and to the passengers. By the way, there was like 276 people on this boat. And he says to them, be of good cheer. For I believe God. Be of good cheer, for though there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must go before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, be of good courage. I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. In other words, God told me that no life is going to be taken. God told me that everybody's going to live. And I believe God. I ask you this morning, do you believe God? Do you believe God? God has promised to you as a Christian. If you're here this morning, you're a child of God, and you know Jesus Christ, your Savior. God has promised you that He will never fail you nor forsake you. Do you believe that? Do you really believe it? I mean, when the storm is raging and they're tossing stuff out of the boat, they thought they were without hope. I mean, they lightened the load, they took everything out, and they thought, verse 34 says, wherefore I pray you to take some meat for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from your head of any of you. You're not even going to lose any hair. He tells the passenger, I don't want to go into that one. He tells them, not going to lose any. He said, you're not going to lose fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And then were they all of good cheer. And they also took some meat. They all took courage. Paul said to them, hey, nobody's going to die. Nobody's going to lose any hair in this. And they all took courage. They all began to eat and took good courage. They were saved. Sometimes he comes in the storm and he calms it. Right? We pray, don't we? A distress comes into our life, financial, health, whatever it may be. It could be anything. We all experience commonality. It's common to all mankind. And we pray and we say, Lord, you know, would you stop this? Guess what? Sometimes he does. I mean, sometimes he just takes care of it right there. Sometimes he walks out on the water to us and he calms the storm. Sometimes he doesn't. We'll say, man, God should have came here. God should have done this. I'm not God. He knows all things. Who can teach God anything? Has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? God is never early. He's never late. He's always on time. Right? Sometimes we have to go through the storm. Here, Paul and his passengers went through the storm, all 276 of them. But God was there. He said, I believe God. I ask you the same question this morning. Do you believe God? And whether he calms the storm or whether he doesn't, and whether he just simply takes you through the storm, do you trust him? We ought to trust him. We ought to put our confidence in him, knowing that God always has your best interest in mind. When I deal with my kids growing up, when I was dealing with them, they may not have thought it, but they know now, as parents, we always have their best interest in mind. And it may be that they don't like our decisions, but we have their best interest in mind. God always has your best interest in mind. God will never fail you. God will never forsake you. God is never late. He's always on time. Do you believe God? He promised he would never fail us. Be of good cheer this morning. I'm thankful we have the greatest cheerleader ever. The greatest encourager is Jesus Christ. Why? Number one, he forgives. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, I hope today we're going to have an invitation. We're going to invite you to come down front, and we'll show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life, how you can have your sins forgiven. We serve a forgiving God. Be of good cheer. Be of good courage. He'll calm your storm. You come to him, he'll calm your storm. You cry out to him, he'll calm that storm for you. And then be of good courage. Be encouraged. He'll take us through the storm. Do you trust him? Do you trust him? John 16, again, verse 33. He says, these things, he wrote these things, that you might have peace, that in him you might have peace. Do you have peace this morning and contentment? He said, in this world you'll have tribulation. Notice again now. He said, these things have I written, these things have I said to you, that in me you might have peace. There's peace in Jesus Christ. In the world you shall have tribulation. In the world you shall have distress. Then what does he say? Be of good courage. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I read the back of the book and we win. We win. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like billows will roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. No matter what comes in my life, it is well if we trust the Lord. Do you trust him? Let's all stand. Have a reverse invitation. Hymn 154, it'll be on the screen as well. Hymn 154, Jesus is calling as we pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for your promise that you'll never fail us nor forsake us. And God, I pray that we would trust you. And God, if there be someone here this morning who's never accepted you as Savior, Lord, may they do so today. May they make that great decision. And Lord, maybe there's some here this morning going through storms. Lord, may you calm the storm. And Lord, maybe some who are traveling through the storm and coming to the end of it, Lord, may they trust you, understanding that you love them and you have their best interest in mind. Lord, thank you, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.